Hello and welcome to another Hope Mindful Compassion Show. My name is Paul Garrigan and I manage the mindfulness program here at Hope.
Hi, my name is Hank Novel and I'm the head counselor at Hope Rehab.
So what we're going to talk about today is CBT, and that's something I know that's one of your sort of main areas. So I just want to wonder, what is it, why is CBT useful for people who come to rehab?
CBT looks at the thought processes of the addict, and it is a very helpful tool for addicts but also for everybody else, because in our lives we have learned to respond to situations in a certain way, and some responses are helpful and some of them are not helpful. And with CBT we look at the unhelpful responses, the responses to situations that causes feelings like anger, upset, depressed, all those kind of feelings. And with CBT we look at what would be a more helpful response, and by using the tools the people train themselves in actively identifying more helpful responses. And if people do that long enough, then it becomes a habit to respond in a more helpful way.
Okay, and just for people who may not know, what does CBT stand for and where does it come from?
It stands for Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, and the main person in it is Albert Ellis. He is doing that for a long time, for 50 years ago or so, something like that. And Albert Ellis is the main man in CBT. There are a few more big names, but in my opinion, Albert Ellis is the most significant one. At the moment, his daughter is doing really well, but he is a bit like the founder of CBT as we know it today. Cognitive behavioral therapy, we look at the cognitive processes, the thinking patterns. And if people have developed a thinking pattern that makes them feel, as like I said before, angry, upset, depressed, frustrated, all those kind of feelings, then CBT is the tool to go to, actually. It's known as the most successful tool in the world for time-limited therapy. And at Hope Rehab, we do time-limited therapies, like between 4 or 8 weeks or 10 weeks, some people stay. And then people who actively practice it have enormous benefits from it. It's a real lifesaver, and people who practice it, they really start seeing that it is a lifesaver.
Can you give me an example of how it would actually work in practice?
Funny, I'm going to do a group about it in about an hour. CBT looks at, it's the broad name for the whole thing. The main tool used is the ABC sheet. The ABC sheet has 5 squares where we work with. And the A is the activator. That's the event that triggers negative feelings and emotions. Then you go to the B, and the B are the beliefs, and the self-talk, the negative self-talk. So what are you thinking? Because the activator is actually just an event, but the person's response to that situation makes it an activator or an event. And you can give an example, like if something happens to 2 different people, one person can have a huge emotional response and the other person just lifts his shoulder and moves on. And that's all because of the process in the head, the cognitive process. So the A is the activator, the B is the beliefs, the negative self-talk. Then you have to see the consequence is feelings and behavior. So what is the consequence of my thinking? It makes me feel upset, it makes me feel angry, it makes me feel frustrated. And my behavior is, I can scream, I can slam the door, I can throw my phone through the room, and that's all kind of behaviors. And the A, the B, and the C are like the response. This happened and this is my response. This is what I'm thinking and this is what I'm feeling and this is my behavior. Because a lot of it is like lifetime or years of this kind of responses. And with the A, the B, and the C, people start getting aware of their response. Then we go to the D, and the D is the dispute, the positive enhancing thoughts or performance enhancing thoughts. So if I think Paul shouldn't do that and it makes me feel really upset, then with the D, I'm going to look at my thought and find a more helpful thought, as in, yeah, with CBT, we're going to look at, okay, you want people to do what you want, and how healthy is that? Is that approach of people and the world, is that going to upset you the rest of your life? And a lot of people see like, yeah, actually, it's an unhealthy demand. There might be some, the word should, it's demand-based thinking, or the should, need, or to have to. And that's a level deeper, then we're going to look in the cognitive distortions. But so you have the thoughts, the negative self-talk on the left, and the dispute is going to be on the right. And I think I'm saying it a bit complicated, but every negative thought, we're going to look for a dispute. And the dispute is performance enhancing or positive enhancing thoughts. And after doing the disputes, the people can see like, hey, it's not the activator that makes me think, that makes me feel this way. It's my thinking that makes me feel this way. Because if I develop a healthier thinking pattern, I feel much better. Then they start seeing like, hey, it's not the activator, it's my response to the situation that makes me feel bad. And it helps people to open their eyes to find more helpful responses. And by keep doing those ABCs, people really develop a new belief system.
So what's that fifth square? You said it was five squares, did you?
Yes, the E is the effective way forward. Here we're going to do a positive affirmation and an action. So the positive affirmation is an I statement. It's completely positive. It's in the here and now. It uses metaphors. It uses humor. And there are a lot of guidelines, or 10 guidelines actually. And positive affirmations are like, I am capable of positive change. I choose to stay clean and sober. And it's depending on the activator, depending on the situation they have described. And they're going to formulate a positive affirmation that helps them to go forward. And there also can be an action involved. As in, let's apologize to a person, or let's do 10 minutes of mindfulness, or what kind of action, or do 2 more ABCs, or whatever the action might be in that situation.
And it's just meant to be something that people do once and then it's done?
No, it takes a lot of practice. It took them years to develop a certain thinking pattern, and it's going to take quite a lot of effort to replace the old thinking pattern with a new thinking pattern.
And you're talking about doing it with sheets. I mean, are people meant to be carrying these sheets around with them, or?
That's what a lot of people think, but that's not necessary, because it's 5 lines. It is a podcast, otherwise I could write it out. It's 5 lines. You can, or 3 lines basically, 5 squares, and people can do that very easily everywhere. And I always make a joke like, everywhere you can ask for a pen and paper and do it. And even if you get lost in the desert, you can just write it with your finger in the sand and do it.
And do you have to write it, or could you just do it mentally?
Writing is the best, because when you really see things on paper, it hits home more than when you just think. If you just think, the mind still believes those thoughts and works its ways around it. If you write it down, it's black and white. There's no minimizing, downplaying, or bending it in a direction that would make the negative thoughts more legitimate. So writing
down. Is there any resolution with it? I mean, so is it a case that, you know, say if the same thing keeps on happening over and over again, will the penny eventually drop, or do you just have to keep on going?
Keep on doing them, yeah, and people will change their thinking. They stop believing their old thinking patterns as I have to be always right, or putting demands on the world. They start realizing at one stage that putting demands on the world and on other people is actually very unhelpful for their on mental being, basically.
So generally speaking, then, would you say that over time, say over the years, minds would have to do this less and less and less?
Yeah, absolutely. If I say it really black and white, when the old belief system is replaced with a new belief system, after a lot of practice, people respond to the world in a different way. And it's a bit similar with mindfulness. People find their inner peace and they find different responses to situations, and their outdated response doesn't work for them anymore. And by doing those things, they start seeing it. You have clients who have been bullied in the past, and because of the bullying, they've learned a response to situations that, and they might see a lot of things as an attack, and they respond to it like it is an attack. And they start realizing it's an outdated belief system. It might help me at a certain period in my life, but at the moment, this defense mechanism is actually working against me and against my happiness.
And is this something that people can learn in a book, or is it important to actually get proper training with the ABCs?
It's the most effective. It's proper training and a lot of practice. I can explain to people how it works, but they need to practice it and practice it and practice it. But if they've done 100 of those sheets over a period of 2 months, as an example, they see a significant difference in themselves.
And would people here do that many?
Not everybody, but it's strongly recommended, and we as counselors are really helping them and guiding them, and they have the 145 help class where people get help while they're doing their exercises and set down by the counselor. And not everybody does it, but the people who do benefit from it enormously.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I mean, have you noticed any sort of correlation between the willingness to sort of do stuff like CBT and eventual success sort of out there?
Absolutely. It's one of the tools we teach at Hope Rehab. And yeah, the more you use these tools, the more successful you will be. And people can come here and we teach them everything, but if they don't use, nothing will change. Gladly, a lot of people do. We have a motivated group of people. And when they do, they really start changing as a person. And
is there something you still use in your own life?
Yes, I do actually. Yeah. Every time.
Recently?
Recently is going to be difficult, but I do it regularly. Absolutely, regularly. Because every time because I'm human too, and I also have my responses to the world, and some are helpful and some aren't. And every time I notice myself getting, I feel my anger or I feel upset or whatever, then I start disputing it because I know that it's my response to the situation that is making me upset. But although I think it's because of this person or because of this situation that's upsetting, but it's me. And I practice them by myself too. And
do you write them down? Do you use those sheets or have your own system?
Sometimes I use the sheet. I practice it for years, and people need to do the first 100 or 200 really writing them down, and later on it becomes a habit. And for me, the identifying the feelings, the thoughts, and the disputes becomes easier because I'm well practiced in it. But in the beginning, I was just doing sheets and sheets and sheets to become aware of the thoughts and the feelings and the behaviors and to really look at it. But later on, you start to know this part of yourself, and then it becomes easier. But for all our clients, we really want them to write it down.
Clients are always asking me about book recommendations. Is there any book you could recommend that teaches about this? I know a book alone might not be enough, but just...
Absolutely. I've read quite a lot of books on CBT, and basically the best book I've read about CBT, and the one I always recommend to my clients to read, is CBT for Dummies. And no matter what level you're at, it's a great book. It's easy explained. It's if you read one page, it hits home instantly. It's very simple, easy to apply, and I recommend it to all our interns and the clients and to read it, because if you read that book, you know so much about CBT.
And is there more than ABC seems to be a very important part of CBT, but is there other tools as well?
Yeah.
And you'd want to just briefly mention?
There are a lot of exercises from relapse prevention to relapse prevention exercise. And one we use here regularly is the relapse prevention reckoner. And it asks all kinds of questions like the steps you need to take to clean out your house, on this kind of question, so it helps people to think about their situation and if their situation is helpful. You have the hot cross bun model, CBT exercise, and cognitive distortions is one we use a lot, actually. And at the moment, one of my clients, I let him do ABCs and then writing down every negative thought he has done in like four sheets, every negative thought, wrote them out on a big sheet and finding all the cognitive distortions in every thought. And he came to me the next session, he said, I've done it all. And he said, Henk, I've enjoyed it so much because I got so much out of it. He said, it was a lot of work, but I got so much out of it. And that's really good. And the cognitive distortions are like mind traps. And it's like self-righteousness, mental filtering, emotional reasoning, demand-based thinking, all kinds of mind traps that have as a result that people feel negative. And we call everything that leads people closer to a relapse, we define as negative. Yeah.
And just one last question, Hank. Would you say that by the time people leave here that they have the CB tools they need, or is there something they should need to continue? I know they need to continue with the ABCs, but do they need to continue with more CBT courses after they leave? Or
When they leave here, they know everything they have to do. And although if people want to learn and develop more, it's always good. But they know exactly how it works. They know how to apply it. They know when to apply it. And they're at a level that's good enough to deal with every situation, basically. They need to have formed a habit. Every time something happens that upsets them, do an ABC. And then the CBT helps people to become their own therapist. In here, as an example, I'm 2 months their therapist, and after that, they are outside. And with those tools, they become their own therapist. They learn how to get themselves through situations, and that's a lifesaver. It's a very good skill.
Okay, one last question, because a lot of people have smartphones and iPads and stuff like that. Is there an app for this?
Yeah, quite a few, actually. Now, I'm not really positive about all of them, but you can learn from every app. Some of them are really...
Is there an ABC app?
Yeah. Cognitive behavioral therapy, and then you see several apps. And some of them are just identifying the negative thoughts and don't help you further, while others have whole readings about it, and that's recommended. But the best thing to do is read CBT for Dummies. Then you know everything you got.
Or even better, come here and have some classes with you.
Yeah. Then it gets all explained how it works. But the book is a really good follow-up from 3.
Thanks very much, Henk. I know you're really busy. I'll let you get back to it.